Hello and welcome to Ask the Vet. My name is Beth Broom and I'm your host for Ask the Vet today and actually kind of always. And today the guest is Dr. Melissa Gislason.
Hi.
Hi. How are you, Melissa?
I'm
Dr. Gislason.
Great. Melissa's just fine.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. All right. So I just want to remind everyone listening that this is a call-in show. So if you have any vet-related questions, please give us a call here at 963-2976. It doesn't have to be about the topic we're going to talk about today. Any vet-related questions at all, just give us a ring and we'll go from there. All right. So I think if I am correct, it is heart disease heart month?
Yes, it is. It's American Heart Month.
Okay. All right. So I think that's going to be our topic today. And I wanted to sort of pick your brain on some things for people to look for and be aware of. So is heart disease a senior animal problem?
Mostly. So there's different forms.
Oh,
we have a call already.
We have a caller. Hi, how can we help you?
Is this Ask the Vet?
Yes.
Great. I have a field spaniel.
Okay.
Dog who just needs her anal glands expressed just too often, and we give her like these little chewables that supposedly help with that. Maybe they increase the fiber in her diet.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I was wondering if there's anything else that might help with that because it smells.
Yeah, it's so disgusting.
They stink.
Yeah.
That is probably the least glamorous part of our job.
Yeah, well, it's definitely high on the list.
So I don't really want to bring her in for that because I know you get to do it and I don't really want to do it at home. But is there something in a diet for a dog?
Sometimes it can be diet related. Anal gland problems can be linked to certain food allergies. Most of the time when it's food allergies, what we're talking about isn't necessarily things like corn or gluten or things like that we think of really commonly. Most of the time with dogs, it's actually the protein source. So with that, you're looking at chicken, is probably one of the biggest culprits for food allergies. So with that, trying to change, it may be worthwhile to change the diet, from something that's chicken based to, or whatever based, to a different protein source for a while. But it's something that you want to transition slowly with. So you minimize some GI upset. So over about 2 weeks is what you want to do for that transition, with the food. And then hopefully, what I typically recommend would be like an 8-week food trial, where they're only getting that specific type of food for 8 weeks at least.
Can I ask a quick question? Are your, like, every time you take your dog in and they express their anal glands, are they full? Like really full?
There have been a couple times where they are actually full.
Okay, because, I'm just curious if you're seeing what we assume is anal gland issues or if she actually has more of an allergy response, like an itchy butt, because the symptoms would look the same.
It's not an itchy butt.
Okay.
She's not showing that sign.
Okay.
But the smell can be there, and they refer to it as, oh, we have to do an anal gland expression.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it may be worthwhile to try changing the food to see if it's something that could be that simple that makes it better. I do really like the anal gland supplements that are out there. I have had a lot of patients respond well to those, but not everybody does.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would try changing the protein source and see if that makes a difference.
Any protein source you would recommend, like a fish or...
My typical go-to would be a fish-based or a salmon-based food if we're trying to rule out a food allergy.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Of course. Thanks for calling.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
Have a good one.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
And just so everyone knows, this is a call-in show, so just like that last caller, any topic is fine, animal-related. For Dr. Gislason, and the number here is 963- 2976. So back back to hearts and away from butts for a second. excuse me. So I think I was asking, is heart disease primarily a senior animal issue?
I would say most of the cases that we see are likely to be senior patients. Uh-huh. But there are two different types of heart disease. There's acquired heart disease, which is something that develops over time.
Mm-hmm.
And those are going to be more your senior patients.
Mm-hmm.
But there are also certain heart problems that are congenital.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but it does appear that most of it is acquired versus congenital. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Most of what we see and what we're actually able to treat are going to be acquired patients.
Congenital heart problems, would those be something that would be picked up on the first few puppy or kitten visits to the veterinarian office?
Hopefully. So that's one of the big parts of the first puppy visits and why we actually like to see puppies three times
and not kittens. Is this not a
kitten? Well, and kittens too, yeah, for both of them. But actually listening to their heart, making sure the rhythm is normal,
mm-hmm.
Making sure we are not hearing a murmur.
Mm-hmm.
A murmur would be more of a valve-related problem, mm-hmm. that didn't form correctly.
Okay.
Whereas different rhythms can be something else structurally wrong with the heart, where the blood's not flowing in the right direction or causing other problems. And they don't always have symptoms of heart disease, especially puppies or kittens where they're otherwise healthy. So really listening to them and that is how we can start to pick up on that as puppies.
Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, I guess I would assume if someone's puppy or kitten isn't thriving the way you would expect it to, that's another reason to be getting in there for those puppy and kitten visits.
For sure.
Yeah.
100%.
So, you know, towards the older, more senior animals, obviously we're looking at getting your animal in every 6 to 12 months for a physical. And at what point, at what age are we getting more concerned about heart-related problems?
So we classify all of our senior pets as dogs and cats, everybody over the age of 7. And those guys, we definitely want to get in and make sure we're listening to their chests at least twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
Because things change.
Yeah, and I mean, with animals, quickly. They train faster, yeah.
And they age faster than we do. Mm-hmm. And these changes that we can pick up on are really subtle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's often before we can see clinical signs of heart disease.
Gotcha. That's good to know. I just want to remind everyone, this is a call-in show. Ask the Vet. Dr. Gislason in the office, or in the studio, excuse me, here today. If you have any questions for her, the number is 963-2976. Any animal-related questions? Animals only. senior pets, you know, obviously you bring them in for their physicals, but what types of signs or symptoms could owners be looking for to say, I need to get my dog in sooner because I think they might be having something related to a heart problem?
For sure. So big things that we see as clinical signs for heart disease are not necessarily what we think of as heart related. They're almost more respiratory related problems.
Mm-hmm.
Things like coughing, or maybe they get tired a lot faster than they used to. They're not going on those long walks.
Mm-hmm.
They are spending less time at the dog park.
Mm-hmm.
They don't seem to have as much energy. Sometimes it's just they're breathing really fast.
Mm-hmm.
Even when they're sleeping or laying down.
We have a call. Thanks for calling. What's your question?
My dog is having some bladder issues.
Okay.
She's older. She's been on a couple rounds of antibiotics, and she was a little bit better then, but she's not doing well. And she is, urinating, having a lot of accidents in the house. And when she does go outside, I mean, she squats and squats and squats and, you know, she's just having a tough time.
Mm-hmm. Definitely sounds uncomfortable.
She's a little older. Yeah.
And are you seeing her in the accidents in the house? Is it she waking up and getting up and there's a puddle of urine underneath her, or is she posturing to urinate?
There's a little bit of both. You know, mostly it's at night we'll notice that she's having accidents, while she's sleeping. But for the most part, it's like she can't get out fast enough or.
I mean, that there definitely seems to be some, it sounds like there's probably some amount of possible infection still going on. Urinary stuff can get really complicated, unfortunately. We think that it should be simple in a course of antibiotics, but there can be things like urinary crystals that form in there. Urine that antibiotics don't necessarily get rid of. There can also be stones that form in the bladder that cause a lot of irritation and inflammation, which could be why she's posturing a lot when she does go outside. Female dogs are also more at risk for things like urinary incontinence, which also unfortunately predisposes them to infections. The best thing that I would probably recommend would be having a full urine analysis done, probably again, and then also sending some of the urine out for a culture and actually growing the bacteria and seeing what antibiotics it's actually sensitive to. Because sometimes these guys grow resistance to the antibiotics that we're throwing at them. And what we may think is a great antibiotic choice actually doesn't work for that bacteria. The other thing that I would recommend would be to have an ultrasound done of her bladder. An ultrasound allows us to look at the bladder wall and make sure there's no abnormalities going on there, but it also allows us to look into the bladder and rule out things like a stone.
Okay. She is older, you know, so.
Yeah, and I mean, anything, you know, any of these things is, you know, are possible problems for her.
Yeah.
But not that they, I mean, those are all things that can be addressed and, you know, we can make her, someone can make her feel better.
Yeah.
And they're all treatable problems.
More comfortable.
Yeah. Urinary issues are also very uncomfortable, painful. You know, if you've ever had a UTI, it's a miserable experience. So, I mean, at least there's things that can be done and ways to treat most of those problems.
Yeah, definitely. And sometimes, too, we're just not using the antibiotic long enough. Some of these guys with more complicated urinary tract infections are actually on antibiotics for a month or longer.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is her second round.
So. Yeah. Well, give those things a thought and maybe contact your veterinarian and go from there.
Okay.
Good luck. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, bye now. All right. Thank you. Just remind everyone, call-in show. Dr. Gislason's in the house, ready to... Hello. We got a call. Thanks for calling. What's your question?
I am wondering if, similar to people, if good dental hygiene can have positive outcomes for a dog's heart health.
Definitely. For sure. There's definitely studies that link dental disease and heart disease, especially patients with underlying heart disease. We definitely don't want them to progress to having nasty mouths. Just like with people, the bacteria and everything that goes along with dental infections, if there's heart disease or it even does predispose them to heart disease, those bacteria get in the bloodstream and they can actually start to colonize and live within the heart and make things a lot worse.
Yeah, so definitely paying attention to good dental health practices is super important.
For sure. It affects heart disease, it affects kidney function, overall, I mean, lots of things with overall health and well-being. And February is actually Dental Awareness Month as well. So
yay, hearts and teeth. Hearts
and
teeth.
They do collide quite nicely.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Yeah. So, once again, feel free. Any vet-related questions, animal questions only, 963-2976 for our Dr. Gislason. So back to, I can't remember where the heck I was. I'm like hopped up on cold medicine today. Losing my train
of
thought.
Signs of heart disease.
Thank you.
Signs
of heart disease in senior animals. And you were talking about like they present themselves as respiratory type issues. Anything else to add on that topic?
A lot of times it's respiratory types of signs that we see: difficulty breathing, mm-hmm. coughing, exercise intolerance. Okay. Occasionally it can be things like passing out or where they faint. A lot of times that's more progressed, advanced heart disease.
Yeah.
But a lot of times it can look like a seizure when they faint or pass out. So a lot of times we're seeing these guys for possible neurology problems.
When it's
actually their heart. So yeah. Getting them in if anything like that happens to rule out if it is a seizure, do we need to do anything about that?
Yeah, any sudden collapse warrants a rapid trip to the veterinarian's office.
100%.
I think that's a good rule of thumb, any sudden collapse, because you never know what you're dealing with.
For sure.
So that's good. So when we talk about heart problems, is this going to be, you know, my dog now has acquired this heart disease? I'm assuming there's different types of heart problems. And then is this like, now I have to put him to sleep, or are there things we can do about it?
There's lots of things that we can do for heart disease.
Well, that's good. I like that.
And most of it's medication, very similar, dogs and cats for that. But the big thing that we're going to want to start off with is probably going to be x-rays, mm-hmm. where we actually look at the chest. That allows us to look at the shape of the heart, measure, does it look big? Does it seem small? Mm-hmm. Is it the normal shape? It also allows us to look at the lungs. Are we seeing signs of congestive heart failure?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes these guys progress really slowly.
Mm-hmm.
Other times it can be a really quick progression from we didn't know there was any form of heart disease to all of a sudden these guys are in congestive heart failure. And what
mm-hmm.
do we do?
Mm-hmm.
From there, we typically recommend an echo or an ultrasound of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
That allows us to specifically classify the heart disease. What valve is affected, or is it just a muscular problem?
Mm-hmm.
If it's a dog, are things starting to get stretched out and the heart's not pumping as well as it should?
Mm-hmm.
If it's a cat, they tend to hide their heart disease the best.
That's annoying.
Yeah. They don't tend to, some will get heart murmurs and things like that we can actually pick up during a normal physical exam. But
mm-hmm.
oftentimes they don't have those changes to their heart. But what happens is the muscle gets really, really thick.
Mm-hmm.
So the chambers of the heart just aren't able to fill up with blood as easily to pump.
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots of things that an echo will actually tell us.
And learning all of those particulars are going to help you decide the treatment plan. Is that correct?
Yep. What medications would be best?
Mm-hmm.
How frequently do we need to give those medications?
Mm-hmm.
And how often do we need to monitor blood work or x-rays or even repeat echoes?
Right.
To see how their heart disease is progressing, or do we have everything under control
mm-hmm.
At this point?
Mm-hmm.
And all of that's going to be different depending on what type of heart disease we're dealing with.
Right. And I mean, are those medications cost prohibitive? Are they an issue? I mean, is this affordable to treat your pet with heart disease?
There's definitely affordable options.
Okay.
There are other medications that are more cost prohibitive. We try to do everything that we can to make it affordable.
Yeah.
And a lot of those medications are now being able to be compounded
by
outside pharmacies. So we're not using
brand names
right. anymore. So that has definitely helped the cost of a lot of our heart medications.
That's good. That's good to know. So there's definitely options, there's treatment plans, and you need to expect a workup to figure out the answers to know how to treat. And it's a process, but super important to address.
For sure.
And not a death sentence.
Correct.
Right.
We have patients who are, even once we get to the stage of congestive heart failure,
mm-hmm.
That we're able to treat with medications for years.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily, my dog has congestive heart failure, we need to put him to sleep.
Right.
We can actually get a lot of really good quality time with medications alone.
And I think that's an important fact when you're considering all of this. I mean, if you put them through it, I mean, if there's good quality, that's
important.
There
definitely can be, for sure.
Yeah. So, and especially also a reason to nail home your annual exams and things like that, because if we pick up on these things and diagnose them earlier, you have a better chance of hopefully, you know, treating earlier.
Being able to
stuff.
Do something about it. Yeah.
Right, right.
They say approximately 10 to 15% of all of our patients have some form of heart disease.
Oh, wow.
So that's a decent amount.
Yeah, definitely.
1 in 10 has something going on in there that we should hopefully be able to treat.
Are there other heart-related issues that can happen to your dog other than, like, heart disease? I mean, I believe they can... Tumors and things like that. Is there anything else that... Mm-hmm.
There are some tumors that can actually grow within the heart, and they definitely cause problems.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, they're pretty rare.
Okay, so that's good to know. That's good to know. Just to remind everyone, we do have a few minutes left. If you do have any calls and any questions for Dr. Gislason, she's sitting here for another four minutes. Ish. 963-2976. Feel free to call in any animal related questions. I guess, you know, to wrap up the heart disease and heart stuff, anything else to touch on regarding maybe cats specifically?
Cats specifically, again, they're going to be the ones that hide it the best. So even things like checking blood work in cats can point us towards heart disease.
And what kind of blood work, and how does that indicate heart disease?
A lot of times what we're going to look for in senior cats is going to be their thyroid level.
Mm-hmm.
Thyroid disease can cause... high blood pressure, which can then also cause issues with their hearts. So making sure their thyroids are normal, making sure they have an appropriate amount of red blood cells,
mm-hmm.
Things like that can help us look at their heart function, even though their heart sounds normal. Even doing things like routine x-rays to make sure their hearts look normal.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Are there heart-specific diets? Are there certain supplements? I know people get into that kind of stuff for ourselves. You know, you should do the heart health. You got to eat the greens and all that crap. Good stuff. We got about a minute to tell me, what should you be feeding your pet?
The biggest thing recently that came out is the FDA actually just put out a warning against boutique, exotic, ingredient, and grain-free diets.
Grain-free. And that's a big topic right there.
That is a big topic in and of itself. We could do a whole show on that.
We're not going to, but we could.
But there's actually a number of dogs where we're seeing more signs of heart disease after they've been fed long-term grain-free diets. There's a lot of research still to do there. So for right now, nutritionists are recommending going back to the regular dog foods, where we have a lot more research behind it.
And I do believe, correct me if I'm wrong, misconception on grain-free and a grain allergy in animals tends to be towards the protein. Is that correct?
Yeah, as we kind of talked about earlier, the allergy itself is normally towards the protein and not towards the grain.
Right.
So a lot of that's marketing.
Yeah. So definitely be aware of if you can find that food that your dog loves that they tolerate, or your cat. I don't think they do grain free for cats, but whatever. If they tolerate it well, find it in a version with grain. Okay. I just want to wrap it up. Thanks so much for listening to Ask the Vet, and we'll see you next. We will not see you, but you'll hear us next month, the third Thursday every month. Thanks so much.